Today we want to talk about this, I would say this is an incredible topic, wrath of God, and topic is straight from the Bible, wrath of God. And if you recall, we talked about the love of God last week, and I specifically picked this topic this week, and Lord willing, next week, the topic will be holiness of God. Now, love of God, wrath of God, and holiness of God. And these three topics are closely related. Because wrath of God is the holy response of love of God toward evil and sin. Let me repeat that. Because those three topics are closely related because the wrath of God is the necessary reaction of holy God because of his love toward evil and sin. And you will begin to hear it as the evening goes along. But when we say the wrath of God or anger of God, it almost sounds unreal because so many people say, how could be the God of love also be the God of wrath? It sounds like contradiction almost. So the couple of questions that I would like to begin with is the topic of wrath of God, is that true? Okay. And number two, if you would just begin to think with me, because contemplation of person of God is the highest pursuit of any human being. Contemplation of who the person of God is, knowing God is the greatest pursuit of any human being. So if it is true, how real is it and how great is it? How great is the wrath of God? Now first I want to start, when we say wrath of God, it is not like human anger, because wrath of God is holy wrath. It's not sinful wrath, but it is holy wrath. In other words, it doesn't involve sin. It is the attribute. It is an attribute of our perfect God. So, number one, it is holy wrath and holy anger. Therefore, it is not uncontrolled, unpredictable, capricious anger like human beings. Human beings' angers are often exaggerated, motivated by sin, motivated by sinful heart, and oftentimes it's very vindicative, and it's almost like a paying back kind of thing. But God's anger is not like that. God's wrath is not like that at all. Rather, it is God's response to sin and evil, the God of love responding to sin and evil. And lastly, his wrath is therefore holy and just. Remember we talked about this, every attribute of God is in perfect harmony with others. In other words, love and wrath in the person of God is in harmony and balanced. Now, I want us to think, because we sing and we talk about love of God, how great the love of God is. We say expressions like, the love of God is greater than the sky, deeper than the ocean, right? Love of God is greater than the sky and deeper than the ocean. And my question for this evening is, what about the wrath of God? What about the wrath of God? Is it different? Is it as great and as deep as the love of God? Okay, that as an introduction. The topic of wrath of God seems, again, almost inconsistent with the doctrine of God, God of love, right? If you just pause and begin to think about the love of God and the wrath of God together, in our human mind, in our we don't even put that much thinking into it, but it just seems like contradiction. And we may think and view that Old Testament views and reveals God of wrath, as well when New Testament reveals God of love. That is not true. That is complete misunderstanding. Old Testament as well as the New Testament clearly and repeatedly teaches the wrath of God in connection with the love of God. Can we make that clear? It's not Old Testament, God was angry, and New Testament, God sent his son and God is love. It's not, that's a wrong understanding. That is not true. So, is the wrath of God real or is it biblical? And the answer is absolutely it is. Okay? Martin Lloyd-Jones, a Welsh Protestant influential pastor and medical, he was a medical doctor in 20th century. So not too long ago, actually, maybe about 50 years ago, he was alive. And he was very influential on the Reformed side in England. And in his study in Romans, which we will talk about a little bit more later, he noticed that in the Old Testament alone, there are more than 20 words to describe the wrath of God. 20 words, okay? And these words are used a total of 580 times. So talking about scripture-based and scripture-supported and scripture-revealed the attribute of God. Okay, so how great is the wrath of God? I want us to ponder. And Psalm 90, verse 11, the psalmist wrote, Who knows the power of your anger? Can you think about that question? Who in the world knows the power of his anger? What this verse or this psalmist is saying is that the full power of his anger or wrath has never yet been manifested on earth. Can you believe that? Okay. Bible promises that his full fury or the wrath of God will be seen in the great day of his wrath. Or we know it as the day of the Lord. And Bible continues to speak about this day of the Lord. Day of the Lord when his full fury or the wrath of God will be revealed. That's future to us. And of course, that is referring to the final day of judgment of our holy God, our God of love. Okay? And that's when Christ returns as the judge, righteous judge of the living and the dead. Can you imagine with me, what is the full power of his wrath? What is the full power and capacity of God's wrath? You know, it is a good thing for us to contemplate these theological thinkings within the boundary of the scripture, of course. We don't want to just go off the wall and just think about any possibility which is not biblical and scriptural, but within the boundary of the scripture, because if you know this doctrine of wrath of God, I think you will fear God, right? So imagine with me what is the full capacity, full power of his wrath. And the answer is, just as his love is infinitely loving, his wrath is infinitely angry. Any attribute or anything that has to do with God, I think it is safe to add infinite. Okay? Here's what I mean by that. He's infinitely holy. That means he's not 99% 99.999% holy, but he is infinitely holy. Okay? He is infinitely loving. Great love. Infinitely loving. He's infinitely just, infinitely omnipotent. Not only he's powerful, he's not 99% 0.999% omnipotent, his omnipotence is infinite. Does that make sense to you? I hope you begin to ponder and grasp. Going back to infinitely holy, because that wrath of God is related to the topic of holiness of God, which we will talk about next week. And how holy is he? He's infinitely holy. Not 99.99999% holy, but he is infinitely holy. Therefore, which means God cannot and will not tolerate nor stand any evil, sin, and corruption and darkness. He cannot and he will not. Which means because he is holy and because he is love, he cannot and will not stand sin, evil, corruption, resultant filth and guilt. So here's an important teaching about this whole thinking, okay? God, because he's infinitely holy, he maintains his purity and holiness and rejects and fight against and destroys that which would offend and attack and undo his holiness. Does that make sense? Because that understanding is so important to understand the understanding of the cross. That understanding is so important because that wrath of God has to do with your salvation. Salvation. What do you mean by that? Okay. Wrath of God is a necessary part of God's attribute of holiness because he's not 99.9% holy, but he's infinitely holy. So anything that offends his holiness, he has to fight against and he has to reject and he has to destroy that offend and attack and undo his holiness and love. I'm going to illustrate in a minute, okay? But I think that's a huge understanding in the understanding of person of God, attributes of God. Okay? Therefore, wrath and anger of God must be seen in relation to his love and holiness. Remember we talked about love of God last week? And next week, Lord willing, we're going to talk about holiness of God. That is why I decided to talk about the wrath of God today. It is related to both love and holiness, which are the central attributes of God. Okay, let me illustrate. Last week, we talked about love of God. Okay, I want you to think back last week. And we talked about this middle-aged woman who is fragile and was being assaulted and harassed by this three huge jumbo-sized gangsters. So that's not a pretty picture. A middle-aged woman who is a fragile, being assaulted and being harassed and beaten by these three gigantic, jumbo-sized gangster, bad guys. And you are happen to walking by, and you see that. You see that's happening. And you are disturbed. Why? Because you are created in the image of God. And you're thinking, that's wrong. That is not right. That is wrong. And your emotion begins to rise within you. Your emotion. Okay? And it stirs and you get upset. And you get disgust. And perhaps you even get angry. Now here's a question at this point. At this point, would you get involved and try to rescue that lady? Try to save that lady? Would you do that? Kevin, don't answer, okay? I think the answer depends on two things. Number one, it depends on who that middle-aged woman is, right? And number two, I think it depends on, can you handle these three giant, jumbo-sized gangster bad guys? Can you handle them? Can you fight with them? And can you destroy them so that you could rescue the lady? But however, the whole situation spins very, very differently if that middle-aged woman is not just a woman in far away country like, I don't know, Bangladesh or Norway. So you have nothing to do with you. But this happens to be your own mother. Ailing mother. Okay? Fragile mother. And then everything becomes different. You are more than convinced that this is not right. This is so wrong. And not only that, your emotion will like rise and you'll get very, very angry. Do you hear it? That's the anger. Okay? So what are you going to do? You're going to go and you're going to fight and you're going to try to destroy those evil offenders to death. Because otherwise they're going to kill your mom. Right? Now, here's the question. Why? What's the difference? Well, because she is your mother, isn't it? Because you love her. Because she's not just anybody, but she is someone you love with your heart. Right? So that's why you get angry. And this is how it is, right? Do you see the connection between the wrath and anger and love? I hope you see it. And God is infinitely loving. Therefore, wrath is a necessary moral character or the response of this loving God toward sin and evil. Okay? Adding one more great truth to what we are talking about here, the anger causes us to rescue, to save her. If there is no anger, there is no salvation. Do you hear it? If there is no anger leading to fight and destroy and attack those jumbo-sized, the offenders, let's say that's sin. If God doesn't hate sin and attack sin, there will be no salvation. Okay? Amazingly, in other words, God who loves his people, his creation. Remember we talked about that? His disposition as God of love. His disposition and his inclination is for his people and his creation for the good at all cost. We human beings have the opposite disposition, okay? Our disposition and our inclination is for myself, for the good, at all cost. It's just the opposite. So God who loves his people is very, very upset at sin and evil, which is causing you to suffer and pain, and that's caused by sin and evil, and he loves you, that's why he has to attack and destroy what's causing you to die and suffer. He's very, very angry. That's why the wrath of God is our hope. Can you believe that? Wrath of God, without it, there is no salvation. Okay. God's love is what causes him to be angry. Because his love, that's why he has to get very, very angry at the offenders, those jumbo-sized enemies, sin and evil. God fights, God destroys, God attacks, because God is God of infinite love. And that's what happened on the cross. That's why it happened on the cross. Here's the great truth, okay? Put it in a simple way. If there is no wrath of God, anger of God, there is no salvation. Okay? Put it in a positive words. The wrath of God against sin and evil, which proceeds or flows from his love and holiness, is our hope of salvation. It's pretty amazing if you think about it. Wrath of God in the Bible. Okay, how do we see? Where do we see? Well, where in the Bible do we see the wrath of God revealed in the Bible? And the answer is entire Bible. And the answer is entire history of humanity. And we don't like preaching about this topic. Can you believe that? Can you believe that, right? Let me give you some snapshots of God's wrath and anger. Genesis chapter 3, when sin came into this world, Adam disobeyed and sinned, and Adam and Eve were expelled and cursed because of sin. Remember that? Genesis chapter 4, which is the next chapter, where Cain killed his brother. First murderer were between siblings. Can you believe that? And what happened? God revealed his displeasure. Genesis chapter 6, which is a children's ministry topic, the flood. When the whole world rejected and rebelled against God, God destroyed the entire cosmos, entire world, by the flood. Can you even imagine it? We're not talking about pandemic here. We're talking about wiping out the cosmos. Absolutely no, seems like no mercy. Only 8 people survived, right? Exodus chapter 15, in the plague of Egypt and destruction of the Pharaoh's army. Exodus 32, when his people broke his covenant and worshiped, and they worshiped the golden calf, he was burning with anger. Remember that? Right? These are some snapshots, but it is everywhere. And throughout the Old Testament history, when Israel broke the covenant, something about God's anger toward his covenant people when his people worship some idols has to do with his attribute of jealousy, which is holy jealousy, right? Because of his great love, holy God sent famine, defeat, and destruction, exile for 70 years, and death. It's everywhere in the Bible. Psalms, Psalms refer to the wrath of God in so many different places against nations, but especially against his personal enemies and his covenant people. And if you read the prophets, which are prophets, a lot of prophecies concerning about judgment of God and the wrath of God, almost always, that was their message upon this wicked nation and primarily to his covenant people of Israel. And that's the Old Testament. What about the New Testament? Is New Testament any better? Well, I want us to look at New Testament kind of like briefly because of the time's sake. But we see the topic of wrath of God extensively in the book of Romans, okay? But generally throughout the entire New Testament, the Gospels, Epistles, and Revelations. But here's a question from the New Testament. Then who are in danger of this wrath of God? Are you in danger? Okay, who are the objects of his wrath and anger? Ephesians chapter 2 verse 3 says, we all are by nature children of wrath, or the object of wrath, like the rest of mankind. Can I just repeat that? We all are by nature children of wrath, object of wrath, like the rest of the mankind, which means you and I are absolute objects or targets of God's wrath. That's just the way it is, okay? And Romans chapter 3 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We all are the object of wrath, okay? Here's another important truth from the New Testament regarding the wrath of God. Bible teaches that the wrath of God is both, listen carefully, is present reality as well as future expectation. Already, but not yet. We haven't seen the full fury yet. My brothers and sisters, this is what the scripture teaches. Okay? It is present reality. In other words, we are seeing the wrath of God in our lives, in our present culture. And we will talk about that in Romans chapter 1, which I heard someone said, forbidden chapter for certain people. Can you believe that? Romans chapter 1 is so important in understanding of sin. In Romans chapter 1, in verse 18, Paul says, or the Bible says, the wrath of God has revealed already, people. We're not talking about wrath that will be revealed on the final day. We're talking about the wrath of God has been revealed, just like the righteousness of God has been revealed, which is Jesus. Okay? So when you look at Romans chapter 1, the wrath of God has been revealed toward all those who are ungodly and unrighteous. And who are them? Who are those? All humanity. You and me and Americans, Koreans, Asians, Africans, babies, and elderly. Every human being. I love Romans chapter 1 because Romans chapter 1 records the wrath of God that has been revealed already. Would you listen to this? You're going to be fascinated because you're going to see, wow, that sounds like us. Okay? Let me explain that. Okay? The wrath of God has been revealed in threefold. God gave them over. And, you know, I taught this many times. Can you imagine God giving you up? You're so disobedient, so impossible, that can you imagine God just, okay, I give up. I give up on you. And here, Bible says God gave them up three times. Verse 24, 26, and 28. And there is that wrath of God manifested, manifestation of wrath of God in verse 24, 26, and 28. What happened when God gave them up because of their ungodliness and unrighteousness? The first God gave them up is verse 24. When God gave them up, there is sexual impurities and destruction of their own bodies. Sexual revolution. Freedom of sex. No shame. Right? Verse 26. The second God gave them over. What happened? The people are burning for their unnatural passions. Sexual unnatural passions. Homosexual lifestyle and passions. Which is contrary to what God has designed and given to people. What are we talking about? Homosexual revolution. Okay. Third, verse 28, God gave them over. So what happened to the people? Simply put, God gave them over and they become with a people with a debased mind. You know what that means? It hit the rock bottom. What is true is false to them. And what is false and absolutely false is true to them. What is absolutely, absolutely wrong is right to them. And what is absolutely, absolutely wrong is right is wrong to them. Debased of mind. And you may be thinking, wow, that sounds like us. Sounds like what's happening in Western society right now. Sexual revolution, homosexual revolution. Now people hit the rock bottom mind. Opposing God. Straight to the face now. Right? I'm not male, female. I decide that. Okay? This is pretty big, isn't it? Therefore, verse 20, what's the result? Listen to this. These people are filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit and maliciousness, gossips and slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil. Can you imagine? Not only evil, now you invent evil. Inventors of evil, disobedient to their parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless, and these are the manifestation of the wrath of God upon his people, upon the people. And I was thinking, wow, we are definitely heading toward that right now. Sexual revolution. People have no shame. No shame. Right? And then there is a homosexual revolution. And then people hit the rock bottom with their mind. And all these manifestation of wrath of God. Present reality. However, the wrath of God is not done. It's not done. There will be a final, full-blown, infinite manifestation of the wrath of God. And Bible calls that day the day of the Lord. And it is coming. Okay? Well, all humanity and history is moving toward two. We are all going toward to that day. So the wrath of God is a present reality as well as a future expectation already, but not yet. I want to talk about gospel connection now. Okay, we always do. That's part two. And then we kind of finish with what should be the response. So let's talk about gospel connection. In light of the truth that we just talked about, the wrath of God that is present now and coming, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1, 31 says, listen, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And the Bible is warning the sinners. Bible is warning the humanity. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of living God. Bible warns sinners to this inescapable reality of the wrath of God and the judgment of God. People say, no, that's not, I don't believe in it. Well, you could do whatever you want. Scripture clearly states. So what are we to do? Like, what is the hope for us? You know, the hope is God has already made the move, okay? It was God sending his own son to the cross, where the wrath of God was displayed in infinite measure. That's what the cross is. And the verse that I would like to introduce is Romans 3, verse 25. And you know that's one of our favorite verses. It says, Jesus Christ, God put Jesus Christ forward. It is God put Jesus forward like a criminal for a penalty, as a propitiation by his blood, to be received by faith, and this is to show God's righteousness or justice, interchangeable words, because his divine forbearance, he had passed over former sins. Okay? And the key word and the key phrase is this: Jesus Christ, God put him forward on the cross as a propitiation by his blood. So here's the gospel connection. I mean, people are so deserving of the wrath of God, right? Scripture clearly teaches that. And yet, God sent Jesus forward to the cross. Remember his disposition and his inclination is for his people, for the good, at all cost. That's why God is love. I praise God. Right? So it was God put Jesus forward on the cross, and it was the will of the Father and willful obedience of his Son. And Jesus, his death was a propitiation by his blood. And the word propitiation means two things. Okay? Hear this. If you could get this, you could really understand the gospel and the cross. Propitiation means to satisfy the requirement of the law and the justice of God. Sin, therefore, you need to get the penalty. You need to pay the price. And the propitiation is satisfying the requirement of the law, a breaking of the law for the justice of God. That's what it means. And it also means, very important meaning, to appease the wrath of God, infinite wrath of God. So it is about satisfying the requirement of the law and to appease the wrath of God. Okay, so Jesus' life or death or his blood was the price and penalty of sin of those who put their faith in him. Your infinite cost has been paid, propitiated by his blood, satisfied, met the requirements of the law and justice of God. And that appeased the wrath of God. Now think with me, brothers and sisters. It's not, okay, I served 10 years for second degree murder, but this is an infinite wrath that Jesus took on and propitiated. Okay, that's what it means. The word propitiation in Latin is hilasterion, hilasterion, and which you will see in the Old Testament, in the Old Testament sacrificial system. Now stay with me because this is important. I know I'm sharing a lot of information, but stay with me. Hilasterion or propitiation in the Old Testament sacrifice refers to the mercy seat, which is on the Ark of Covenant in the Holy of Holies. Okay? So once a year, the priest go into the Holy of Holies with the blood of the Lamb, which represents for the peace of his people, covenant people. Right? And the blood gets sprinkled on mercy seat, of which is on Ark of the Covenant. And that refers to propitiation or hilasterion. Okay? That's the Old Testament sacrifice which cleanses nobody's sin. That's just a shadow, right? So what's the real thing? It was the sacrifice of the cross, the New Testament cross, New Testament sacrifice, where Jesus was the Lamb, Jesus was the priest, and his blood. That's the entire sacrificial system. And once and for all, he propitiated by his blood. Okay, so what happened there? The wrath of God has been completely satisfied and appeased through the blood of Christ. Can you think for a moment? Do you see the power of his blood? If the wrath of God is infinite, do you see the power of his blood? We sing that song, right? There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Do you get it? That's the power. It was God the Father who had put Jesus, his son, on the cross to satisfy or meet the price, which is to himself. Now, how crazy is this? Payment has been paid not to Satan, but to God himself. But it is God who sent his son to pay the price to himself. So it is God initiated, God paid, and God received. Why? To save you and I from himself and the wrath of God. Now think with me, salvation is from whom? From what? Right? People say salvation is from sickness and misery and sin. It's true, but that's not the whole truth. Salvation is from God himself. God himself. Holy God. That is why this is the great love and mystery of the cross. Okay. We're almost done. We want to talk about our response. We talked about the wrath of God. And we talk about without the wrath of God, there is no salvation. Right? So what should be our response? Romans chapter 3, verse 25 says, to be received by faith. Have you received Jesus? What does that mean? Do you see the depth and intensity of this question? To be received by faith. And John chapter 3, verse 36, has that phrase, wrath of God, spoken by Jesus himself. Listen to this. John chapter 3, verse 36. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son, however, shall not see life. But the wrath of God abides on him. I thought it was very, very special because we are studying John's gospel right now. Okay? Whoever put faith in the Son have eternal life. And we know that. But whoever does not obey the Son, which means loving the Son, which means you have been born again or regenerated, that you're not going to see life. And he doesn't stop there. And he says, but the wrath of God will abide on him. Mano. That amazing, stunning word of John's gospel or Johannine gospel describing the inseparable relationship between Father and the Son. And if you don't believe in Jesus, the wrath of God, mano on you. That's what Jesus said. The wrath of God, mano on you. It's in you. It's inseparably with you. It's on you. The wrath of God is now, and it is to come, right? The wrath of God abides with you. And that's why you need to put your faith in Christ with all of your heart. Okay, friends, today, may you turn and put your faith in him. Let's pray.